From Maine Public Radio News and mainepublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, May 7th, 2025. The long political battle over transgender athletes competing on girls' sports teams will land in the Maine legislature tomorrow. The Judiciary Committee will hold public hearings on a slate of Republican proposals to ban the practice. Steve Missler has more.
Most of the bills take aim at the Maine Human Rights Act and the gender identity protections that have existed for years, but have recently been criticized by Republicans and President Donald Trump. They say that those protections are unfair to female athletes and violate the spirit of Title IX, a 1972 law meant to expand opportunities for women. The GOP and affiliated interest groups are expected to turn out big crowds for the hearings, but Bree Danvers Kidman, executive director of Maine TransNet, hopes lawmakers won't jettison the rights of transgender people.
This is bait. The federal government is trying to see if we will sacrifice each other. Don't take the bait, because if the legislature can take away the human rights of one small group, they can take away everyone's human rights. If they can do it to us, they can do it to you.
Danvers Kidman was referring to the ongoing pressure campaign by the Trump administration to comply with the president's executive order banning transgender athletes from competing on girls' sports teams. The issue has simmered for months and is now subject of a lawsuit by the Trump administration against the state as it attempts to pull Maine's $250 million in federal education funding. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The Maine House advanced a bill Wednesday to fast-track $118 million in Medicaid payments to hospitals and other health care providers. Kevin Miller reports.
The state's Medicaid program, known as MaineCare, currently has a nearly $120 million funding shortfall. The Democratic-controlled legislature voted earlier this spring to plug that hole as part of a two-year budget bill, but the money won't be available until late June. So this latest measure aims to make the funding available immediately to pay hospitals and other MaineCare providers. The bill has both Democratic and Republican co-sponsors, but some lawmakers objected to bypassing the committee process in order to fast-track funding. The bill's fate also remains unclear. It will require supermajority support in both chambers of the legislature on final passage. Democrats failed to reach that threshold in March during their first attempt to pass an emergency stopgap funding bill due to opposition from Republicans who were demanding additional changes to Maine's welfare programs. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The Maine Department of Health and Human Services is urging Congress to renew enhanced premium tax credits for the health insurance marketplace, which expire at the end of the year. Hillary Schneider, director of Maine's Office of Health Insurance Marketplace, says more than 50,000 Mainers qualify for the credits, which lower average monthly premiums by nearly $180.
And so when you make those premiums, if these healthcare tax credits expire, we're looking at, you know, some people having their healthcare premiums increased by 200%.
Schneider says the enhanced tax credits need to be renewed as soon as possible because insurance carriers will file next year's proposed rates in just a few weeks, and marketplaces are preparing for open enrollment in November. The city of Portland is suing the Maine Department of Health and Human Services over a shelter reimbursement rule that will cut millions of dollars in funding for the state's largest homeless shelter and others around Maine. Nicole Legrisco reports.
For months, Portland has been at odds with DHHS about the rules, which reimburse the city and other shelters around the state using a rental housing standard that provides $44 a night per bed. Portland says it costs nearly twice as much to operate a shelter bed at the Homeless Services Center and that the standard DHHS is using doesn't account for the costs of providing emergency services to those experiencing homelessness. DHHS has said that Portland has been overbilling for shelter reimbursement and that the rules represent routine technical changes that shouldn't require approval by the legislature. Portland Mayor Mark Dion disagrees, and he says 60% of clients served at the Homeless Services Center last year came from towns outside Portland.
They're making a decision that has true life consequences for the residents of Portland and for the people we're trying to serve. On behalf of all these other communities that are either unwilling or unable to meet those needs.
The lawsuit filed in Cumberland County Superior Court seeks immediate relief and a stay from the DHHS rule. A spokesperson for the department declined comment, citing active litigation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
Dozens of residents packed a town select board meeting in Wells last night to weigh in on the police department's decision to enter into a formal agreement with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Ari Snyder has more.
Wells is the only police department in Maine with an active agreement through the 287G program, which grants local police officers the authority to enforce certain aspects of federal immigration law. The issue was not on the scheduled agenda Tuesday night, but drew a standing room only crowd during a public comment section that at times devolved into shouting. Resident Robert Lavoie said he worried any partnership with ICE, an agency at the forefront of President Donald Trump's aggressive immigration policies, could damage the town's reputation as a friendly and welcoming destination.
And that could all go away in a flash if something goes wrong in one of these deportation-related incidents.
But others spoke in favor, saying the agreement would be a useful training opportunity for local officers and that they trusted the department not to abuse any new authority. The select board did not indicate what action, if any, it would take on the agreement. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
Preparing Maine for future storms and flooding will cost billions of dollars, according to a commission that's examining the state's infrastructure. Peter McGuire reports.
The commission's final report concludes that despite the scale of the challenge and funding constraints, the state must act urgently to protect communities from the worst effects of climate change. The report makes dozens of immediate and long-term policy recommendations for strengthening infrastructure, mitigating risks, and improving emergency response and rebuilding efforts. And it suggests holding state agencies accountable for regularly reporting progress towards the goals. Governor Janet Mills set up the commission after a series of damaging storms over the last 2 years. The state has already dedicated tens of millions of dollars to rebuilding and just passed a law to improve flood maps, pay disaster relief, and protect homeowners from severe weather. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Officials at the Maine Health Institute for Research say they're concerned about the Trump administration's requirement that no more than 15% of federal research grants be used for indirect costs, such as utilities or staffing. Jessica Scherto, vice president of research at the institute, says such limits would significantly impact operations.
Right now, I can tell you we pay almost $1 million in utilities just to keep the lights on and the natural gas coming in.
The Institute's research ranges from clinical trials to vector-borne diseases. Scherto says an effort is underway to reestablish a federally funded program that supported research for young scientists. The indirect cost limits, meanwhile, are being challenged in court. Vector ecologists at the Maine Health Institute for Research say there's good news and bad news when it comes to tick populations in the state and the diseases they carry. Patty White reports.
The bad news is that even though ticks may be top of mind during warm weather, they're remaining active well into December. And deer tick populations are established in every county in Maine except Aroostook. The good news is that Maine still doesn't have any established populations of the aggressive Lone Star tick, which carries a bacteria that can cause an allergy to red meat.
They could potentially make it here in the next 5 years. We certainly are on the lookout for them because they are a game changer if they get established.
Vector ecologist Chuck Lubelzik says it's important for landowners to take steps to reduce tick populations, such as removing invasive plants that are favored habitat and placing tick control tubes in their yards. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Today, travelers are expected to present a real ID or other suitable form of identification to board domestic flights. Portland Jetport Director Paul Bradbury says there have been no major delays.
That early morning push where we have all of our morning flights go out was very clean. And again, 98% of those flying and going through the checkpoint had real ID.
Bradbury says of the more than 4,000 passengers flying from Portland today, only about 80 had no real ID, passport, or other federal identification and had to be screened in a separate line. The TSA website says officers will collect your name and current address to confirm your identity. You then proceed for additional screening. But the TSA warns this process does not guarantee you will be able to fly, even if you have TSA PreCheck. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Irwin Gratz for Morning Edition starting at 5 a.m. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.